Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it.
And then it's all over!
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll him out, here's some ground and pound by
O'Gara. I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior, Eric O'Brien, along with Ken Evans, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts, since we are apparently the only two people that really want to do this.
What is going on?
I don't know. I don't even have you on the
mic. Oh, well, you got to turn my microphone on if I'm the only guy that shows up.
I'm so used to you being on a different microphone when other people show up. So.
Oh, okay.
But here you are. So
Sean's not here.
Sean is not here.
Have we heard from Sean today?
I know that he's still alive.
Okay.
And then I don't know what happened to Joe.
Joe got a new job.
He did get a new job.
And he's hiding from the government, so he doesn't come in a lot.
That causes him to hide from the government. I'm assuming he's a character in Legends on TNT, which is why he's no longer here.
I don't understand that reference.
Well, that's mostly because the show is now sponsored by a new show on TNT called Legends.
Oh, all right.
Tune in every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern to check out Legends.
I will soon understand that reference.
On TNT. Lots of stuff to talk about. We have two fights, plural, like two events happening on Saturday. We have one in the morning and then one at night. Interestingly enough, the one that's on Fight Pass is the only one that people seem to be talking about, as no one seems to care that Benson Henderson is fighting on Saturday night.
I told you that over and over again. He's one of the best fighters in the world, but nobody really cares about
the dude. Nobody cares about.
I mean, what's the – it's not a co-main. They're not going to try to pull that crap.
It's Mike Pyle and Jordan Mean, and then Francis Carmel and Talis Lettis, which that should be a fun fight if Talis makes it a fun fight.
Is that a Fight Pass? That's not a Fight
Pass.
No,
that's Fox Sports 1 on Saturday night. And then Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern, you get Bisping and Kung Lee, which you'll hear from Kung Lee. That's going to be a barn burner.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, they've been going through extensive drug testing because Michael Bisping says, quote unquote, Kung Lee has never looked like that before.
Kung Lee is ecstatic about being so far away from the SAC right now. because have you seen those pictures of Kung Lee?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He looks insane.
He does look insane.
So is this one of those, is China doing it, do we know? Or is the UFC doing the testing?
I don't know who's...
Because sometimes when they go to other countries, they'll self-regulate. So that's interesting. But if you haven't seen the pictures, go find them of Kung Lee. Dude looks better than he did 10 years ago at this point.
He does. He looks completely shredded and crazy.
Now, obviously, he does a lot of acting. This is almost a 2-year layoff for him. So this is going to be an interesting fight in that regard, because we talked before about Rich Franklin when they had this last, not pay-per-view, but Fight Pass card in Macau. He beat Rich Franklin, a champion, a guy that, you know, was in there. We thought this was going to be a back-and-forth fight. I think most of us even picked Rich Franklin in that fight. Let's remember, Rich is an older dude. He's younger than Kung Lee.
He is.
So we thought this was going to be one of those showcase fights where Rich was going to be able to go in there against a guy who was a little one-dimensional, we thought, with the striking. But obviously the San Shao background paid off, and, man, he landed in that fight. Basically retired Rich Franklin, but it's been almost 2 years for a guy that's 42. So it's very interesting when he does look like he does in those pictures, and
now,
when he comes back after such a long layoff.
To play devil's advocate on the side of let's just let fun things be fun, the UFC is self-regulating this weekend, so the UFC will be doing this extensive testing, and B, Kung Lee has said and will say this weekend that while Michael Bisping has been doing all of this talking, that Kung Lee has been doing all of this training, so that's why he looks so jacked, because he's been doing a lot of... martial arts for movies, martial arts for training, and all those sorts of things. And if you watched any of the videos, Ken and I were talking earlier this week, that shooting segment with Kung Lee, I mean, this is a guy who has no shortage of insane skills.
Oh, yeah. He drops a plate, it looks like, with a pistol at about 100 yards. And this is a guy, he's training with a special ops dude, so he can look like he knows how to use a gun in a movie.
Yes.
And he goes in and, it's a pretty good skill set to have. When you can drop a plate at 100 yards. And that's his off time, quote unquote, when he's doing his training. He likes to take mental breaks. Obviously, they show some time with his family. But I just thought that was pretty amazing that this guy, he's for real in everything he does. And he's an intense guy. And we'll talk to Kung Lee later and find out about his thoughts. Because Bisping's not shut up, essentially, in this past week. He's been talking in China. They had their stare down. There's been a lot of words flying back and forth, and he's a guy that he doesn't really like it a whole lot. So there's going to be a lot of motivation is my thought here with this fight, and a lot of interest, too. And that card, I mentioned the Benson Henderson card earlier. This card doesn't really have an undercard that's going to light up the world either.
You've got Woodley.
But you've got Woodley's you want to see what he does.
You've got Woodley and Kim, which, it doesn't have a super huge co-main, as you would call it. But Woodley, you want to see what Woodley's going to do as he's bouncing back. But
the main event has a lot of intrigue in it, which is interesting because if you want to go back to the Henderson-Dos Anjos fight, that's got a little bit of more of an implication probably on an actual title picture.
It certainly does, but as I said, I have barely seen anybody talking about that fight. Everybody is talking about Bisping and Kung Lee, which is, of course, A, why you want Bisping on cards, and B, Kung Lee only 9-2, which I always find fascinating. For as old as he is, he's been very specific in the fights that he picks, and has had a not necessarily what we would call a long career, but I think that speaks perhaps, Ken, to his ability to perform at such a high level because he hasn't had the damage done to his body doing 50 fights like, let's say, a Vanderlei Silva.
Yeah, I certainly can see that, but I was looking back at his record, and when he takes the long layoffs, those are the two losses. I think they were both about a year layoff that he had in both of those losses, so this is 2 years.
Maybe 2 years is a sweet spot.
Year
is not long enough. 2 years is perfect.
Maybe that's it. I mean, obviously, he had I believe it was the Scott Smith loss after a long layoff. He went from March 2008 until December of 2009. So that's a long time. Also, the Vanderlei fight, you brought up Vanderlei Silva. He lost that fight after over a year layoff after he got the win back over Scott Smith in their rematch. So this is a guy that's 9-2, and he's definitely for real. But you got to wonder, 2 years off? I mean, Bisbean's a guy that I'm not usually going to root for. I mean, that's why he probably sells a lot of pay-per-views.
He does.
But he's a guy that can back it up, and he's been in there with a lot of top guys most of his career at this point. So this I'm looking at it now. Is this a tougher fight than the Rich Franklin fight for Kung Lee?
Oh, undoubtedly.
You think?
It was at one point, I think it was funny to say, Michael Bisping, Dan Henderson, UFC 100. That was kind of what I think people like yourself who hate Michael Bisping, you wanted to like encapsulate his career with that KO. And since then, he's gone on a bit of a tear on and off to get towards that title picture. And while I don't know that Kung Lee moves you any closer to a title.
He's a little bit stuck right now, too, because the losses he takes are tough losses.
They're huge
in that
losses.
Title picture. I mean, he's a guy, I think, two or three times was ready for that title shot. You just got to beat Chow. You're going to be number one. Chow beats him.
Yes.
Beat Vitor. And that was a little ways back. We knew Vitor's still a beast, I think, last year.
Right.
So that was going to be tough. Tim Kennedy. You beat Tim Kennedy. Here you go, buddy. Here we got to get somebody in the title picture there. You're a guy that can sell tickets, and Tim Kennedy wins a decision. A lot of people were surprised by that, and that's the loss he's coming off of. So he's definitely ready to go, too. These are both two dudes that are ready to fight, and not that guys aren't, but these guys have a lot of motivation behind them, both of them.
Well, let me ask you this, then. Would you call this, then, a feature fight for Bisping? Because
I don't know. Well, it's a big fight for both of those guys. It's a big fight where both of those guys can be on the precipice of something. You've got Bisping, who, if he can come out of China with a convincing win over Kung Lee, I don't know if he's right back in the title picture, but UFC definitely wants to move some of those dudes around in that division. If you've got Kung Lee coming out of it, and I'll ask him about this later in the show, there's been that Anderson Silva talk earlier this week, and you mentioned it earlier. That's not a fight we necessarily thought of, but that's certainly a fight everybody will throw money at. Like,
sure.
Take my money for Kung Lee in there against Anderson Silva. That would be an amazing fight. Anderson doesn't have the belt anymore, so you can make that fight with Kung Lee.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really cool option, but I think he's got to beat Bisping before they're going to put him in against a former champ. And that might be the fight he wants. I don't know when this dude wants to end his career. The guy's been fighting a long time. Like you said, he takes long breaks. He picks and chooses. He's only got 11 MMA fights. Obviously, he's been fighting all his life, been a martial artist for all of his life. I got to imagine that the way that we heard him answer that question on Fox Sports 1, though, that's an intriguing fight for him. if he wants to get out of the fight game and then move into movies and move into TV and do those acting things.
And I think that's an intriguing fight. I'm sure you would agree with this. An intriguing fight for anyone to fight Anderson Silva, because essentially he's lost three times in his career, once very early on, and then twice to Weidman. And if Weidman is the guy that has his kryptonite, that makes the allure, I think, still there for most fighters going, well, I mean, I saw that Chris could do it. Can I?
I still want to beat him.
Can I do that?
I
want to see if I... You mean,
well, and he was a champion for years, and this would be a really cool matchup, but does it happen for Kung Lee if he doesn't beat Michael Bisping? I'm not sure.
I don't know either. In the co-main, you've got Tyron Woodley against Dong Young Kim, and Kim is on a four-fight winning streak against Paulo Thiago, Badr Azada, Eric Silva, and John Hathaway. Tyron Woodley obviously coming off of that loss to Rory McDonald, but he had beat Carlos Condit and Josh Koscheck. So, you know, if we're playing the MMA math game, Woodley has more convincing wins at that division. That a win there, I think, still gets him back to another important fight. Kim can easily get back into that discussion, having losses to Carlos and Damian Maya, notably, and that's about it, really, for Kim. So Kim has been silent, I think, in that division, where people aren't really giving him the respect he deserves, and this is a great spotlight for him if he's able to beat Tyron Woodley.
Well, beating Tyron Woodley gives him five wins in a row, and I'm not sure, you know, where that next fight is for him. I think you would need another fight or two, but he's got performance of the nights, knockouts of the nights on his resume. He's a guy, yeah, you're absolutely right. You overlook him some when you start talking about that division, and he's a dude that actually, you know, could probably take another fight or two and be a real championship contender as far as legitimately asking for a title shot and legitimately wanting to go against whoever at that point has the belt in the division.
Yeah, and again, you know, if you've got Fight Pass, I think those two fights are worth checking out. The rest of them are, I think, what Ken would call spotlight fights for...
Oh, it's a bunch of... It's local fights, essentially.
Yes,
they've got
essentially,
some. They've got Asian fighters to fill out the card for the most part, and they could be great fights. They might not be. I really am intrigued by this main event, and more so than the Benson Henderson, which obviously we're going to talk about here with Henderson Dos Anjos. I keep forgetting
right.
Who he's fighting. I'm sorry. Sorry, Rafael. Sorry.
Well,
my bad.
And that, you know, again, to kind of switch the show around, that's been very fascinating for me. You've got two guys here in Rafael Dos Anjos, which... always a problem for the UFC to get these guys of any sort of non-English-speaking descent.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for them to get them over. It's really hard for them to get Jose Aldo over. As dominant as Aldo
right.
is, you don't see a lot of people in the mainstream pining to pay for that fight or see that fight. And now you have two. You have Dos Anjos, who's lost to Nurmagomedov recently, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got Benson Henderson, who's lost to Anthony Pettis twice.
He's got the stains still, the stains.
Yeah. You know,
Anthony Pettis.
He's lost to him twice, beat Khabibov, beat Josh Thompson, and is always, as you said, in the
beat Josh Thompson.
You can say that just about any of his fights. Did he beat Gilbert Melendez? I mean, we could have that argument. That's not what I'm saying is... On paper, and given his resume, you would think that people would be pining to talk about Benson Henderson. And I know that you've said this for the better part of 4 years.
Yes.
That this is a guy that just doesn't sell anything.
Yeah.
He's not a closer, as they would say if you were selling products. He doesn't close the deals. People don't have an interest in this fight in the same way they do with Kung Lee and Michael Bisping. And I would say, dude, this is the first time in my recent memory of Fight Pass being a thing where it's clear people are going to get up Saturday morning to check this thing out, and maybe they'll do that thing later.
The
maybe.
Fox Sports one?
Maybe.
Well again, I'm not saying anything new, but as we went through the fights with Clay and Frankie and I think he fought Nate, Gil Melendez obviously was the big one, and when I got a little upset there, obviously, because some people... I don't necessarily disagree with the decision, but I at that point, I never thought Benson Henderson was going to lose a decision. I still don't think he has. I mean, you had to have Anthony Pettis go in there and...
Almost rip his arm off
right. in the first round to finally make it so that he doesn't win the decision. He's a guy that doesn't have a lot of fans because of that. He was the champion. He's a great champion. He did what he had to do to win fights. But he's stuck right now in a spot where... He doesn't even have that luster that champions that former champions used to have. Obviously, Anderson Silva, we just talked about, light years away from others. But usually a guy loses a belt, and you're going to go watch him. You're going to go watch him. Machida was able to keep fighting after he lost a former light heavyweight champion. I want to see a Machida fight. I don't care who he fights. Vitor Belfort, former champion, hasn't had the belt in years.
Shogun? You'd watch Shogun?
Yes. I mean, there's a lot of dudes that once they hold that belt, they're set. They're going to be a main event guy for a long time for the most part. Benson Henderson, I don't know if he is. It's going to be very interesting to see. It's a UFC on Fox Sports 1, correct?
Correct.
So this will be interesting to kind of see how these ratings shake out. I'm not saying I don't want to see the fight. It's just very interesting to look at the two because we're going to directly see in the morning and then later that night two sets of fights. You've got them both on the same day. We are going to compare these cards. And I think you're right, Eric. It's interesting. The one here in the U.S. is the one. Okay. It'll be on. It's going to be on probably at 10. So East Coast will, for the most part, be checked out by the time the main event's on.
And to go back to what we
said. Who wants to stay up?
This is what I'm saying.
Benson Henderson.
This is what I'm saying. To go back to what we said earlier, two things. One, that's a long day if you're a fan to start at 9 a.m. and go till 1 a.m., right? And so you're going to pick one or the other and check the other one out, especially the Fox Sports 1 card. I think. DVR it and check it out on Sunday.
You won't get spoiled by that. You'll be spoiled on the Kung Lee fight after it happens.
You will certainly be spoiled, but you've got Sunday to kind of make up if you want to watch Benson later. I just find it fascinating that Benson on paper should be a huge draw, and you don't feel it. And it's unfair to Rafael dos Anjos, who is a real deal contender at that weight class, and a win over Benson Henderson certainly rockets him right up to I don't know what it rockets him up to, because we still need a champion to come back to figure out what we're going to do at that point. But a win would be big for Rafael dos Anjos, undoubtedly. Okay, when we come back, we've got some other stuff to talk about. We were in Bangor, Maine over the weekend, so we'll talk about that. We also have...
Is that where Sean is?
That might be where Sean is. And there was big news coming out of Bellator and ending up in the UFC. We'll talk about it all next. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Way of the Warrior. Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show.
Yes, you better do that. Online at Wow Show on Facebook and Twitter. All you need to know for anything in the world of mixed martial arts. Joe is still running that. As far as I know, he just isn't showing up here. So,
he's busy just spoiling SummerSlam. What is he doing on our Facebook page, spoiling the WWE didn't spoil SummerSlam, so anybody who has the network can watch it the next day. And 3 hours later, Joe's on there. Hey, congratulations, Brock Lesnar. He spoiled it.
I will apologize on his behalf for spoiling it, but to be fair, and this made Sean very angry when we were talking in Facebook Messenger all week long, that post where he spoiled SummerSlam was our most clicked upon post of the year. Of the year.
It could have easily been written in
of
a different...
Of the year.
Did you talk to him about how to write the titles?
No, I did not. No. Okay. That I did not, but I just think it bears repeating that there are moments where these two brands cross over in a heavy way that you can't help but, give a nod to it.
Oh, no, definitely. I mean...
I apologize he spoiled it for you, though.
Spoiled it. You ruined it.
Probably watch it on time, though. I'm just saying.
What? Come on.
See, we were speaking of spoiled. We were in Bangor, Maine over the weekend, UFC Fight Night 47, as Ryan Bader out wrestled Ovince St. Preux to a decision. And the biggest story to come out of that was one, St. Preux clearly needs to work on his striking a little bit. It was a bit on the sloppy side, and he absolutely needs to come up with a better answer for people that can out wrestle him if he wants to compete at that division. The other story.
Well, Bader's a tough nut to crack, though, when it comes to wrestling.
Do you think he's the best wrestler in the division?
He's a pretty high.
Do you think he's the best wrestler in the division?
Okay.
I'm not taking anything away from how awesome he is, but if he's going to run you over like that. And you want to
I think Ryan Bader can truck some guys. Yeah, I think
he certainly could truck some guys, but I'm sure that Rashad Evans can truck you too. Mm. And I'm going to tell you that based on Saturday night that John Jones certainly could out-wrestle Ovince St. Preux.
Okay, I'll give you that.
Okay, so what I'm saying is if Bader is a good test for your wrestling acumen, he can truck some dudes at that.
Oh, they're at light heavy too,
yes.
Aren't they? Yeah, that's going to be tough.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he's got some work to do. That's fine. Plenty of stuff to come out there. But I know that this is Ken's favorite part of the story, is that while that fight's going on, everyone's favorite jerk in the UFC, John Jones, tweets and deletes, because that's what he does, LOL, what am I watching? LOL, what am I watching?
I didn't quite get that. Was he not a fan of the wrestling?
Apparently not a fan of just the wrestling to win, because Vader clearly wasn't able to finish, but
right.
he was executing his game plan and keeping Vince St. Preux off of his feet, essentially. And
yeah, won 14 of 15 rounds on the scorecards, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Won 14 of 15 rounds.
Well, no, one judge didn't score a round for him.
There are only five rounds.
Five?
Yeah. Oh, you mean in totality?
Yeah, all the judges. I can do a little math here and there.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't know where we were going there. But yes.
Amazing 15-round fight.
Yes, an amazing 15. That would have been terrible if Ryan Bader and Vince St. Preux for 15
then
rounds.
Then I would have been all right. Why didn't John Jones just leave the tweet up,
right.
though?
But this continuing, I don't know who's in his ear, but his ability to be or play heel, I don't know which one it is, is nothing short of brilliant. I mean, if you were in that division, is there anything more embarrassing than the champ of that division calling you out as your main eventing a card for the first time in Bangor, Maine?
I forgot until just now that they were wrestling in his division. For some reason, I thought they were middleweights. And
no, sir.
No, they're light heavy. So, yeah, that's got to be... That's a rough one right there.
And especially when you go through the rest of the card, you had that amazing kickoff to the card with Alan Jouban making his debut in the UFC against a game opponent in Seth Baczynski. Baczynski actually drops Alan early on, and Alan comes back and ends the fight. Sean Jordan ends Jack May. Bosch, underdog in that fight, ends Brad Tavares and was on the wrong end of Tavares beating him for that first round.
Mm-hmm.
And Ross Pearson absolutely took it to Gray Maynard, especially in that second round. So you had a lot of guys going for the finish, and then, you know, 25 minutes of Ryan Bader.
Right. Well, and the Ross Pearson one, that's the fight I look at as you've got a lightweight there. I think we're obviously going to get a different set of matchups there. But he's a guy I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, fight for the championship at that level, another fighter too. That's kind of what all these cards are turning into, unless they're pay-per-views at this point, which is fine. You don't know where the guy's next fight is, but you were impressed with him and you liked what you saw.
And what's fun about that fight, if you're Ross Pearson, is Ross was supposed to fight Abe Trujillo, who got hurt, and so Gray Maynard gets the call up, which a win over Gray Maynard is a big deal. It's Gray's third loss in a row. Dana White in the post-fight presser said, look, I'm not trying to run him out of town. I like Gray, but clearly he's got to do something to get some wins back under his belt. He's not getting any younger. So,
oh, yeah. That's a tough loss. As good a win as it is for Pearson, that's a tough loss for Gray Maynard at this point.
Well, especially when you look at it in a way that you were essentially helping out the company.
Mm-hmm.
Abe Trujillo is out. I'll step up and do that fight. No problem. But you had four very fun fights leading up to one that, depending on what your taste in MMA is, that might not have been your thing to watch Ryan Bader and Vince St. Preux wrestle for 25
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah, well, it's a tough one, too. I mean, even when the heavyweight fight on the card that's full of lightweights and middleweights, when the heavyweight fight is the fight on the card that really delivers, because, I mean, I don't know about you, I don't know Jack May. If he walked in here right now, if he wasn't bruised up, I couldn't tell you who he was. But that was a fun fight back and forth with those two dudes. So it's tough, too, when you have a night like that. Everything finishes. Man, I swear there's something going on with some of these fight nights.
How do you mean?
You get to the main event. Even on the you're watching the cards, you go, oh, this is great. Look at that. Oh, submission, TKO, TKO, finish. Man, we get to the main events. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Now, do you think that's intentional? And I mean that on the part of the, like, there's so much on the line being in the main event that you just kind of can't put it all on the line?
I think that's what happens for the most part is you get these guys. We'll go back to the Benson Henderson talk we had in the first segment. These guys are great at what they do. And then, you're in the main event. You want to make sure you win. You know, Ryan Bader's in there when we're talking about that fight. He's not taking any chances. He's got to keep his job. I mean, light heavy. Everybody wants to fight right now, John Jones.
Yes,
I mean, the guy's not even fighting a guy who ever fought in that division. So, I mean, if you're a light heavyweight, you just have to keep winning. He's in the main event. He doesn't want to take chances. You've got an up and coming dude in OSP that a lot of people have been high on. You're going to go in there and you're going to do what you know you can do. And he knew he could take that guy down and kind of ride him out through five rounds. And he did just that.
And you put that in contrast with a guy like Alan Jouban, it's his first time in the octagon, and Eddie Bravo student, and just goes and puts it all on the line, gets as you call it, gets trucked in that first round pretty decently, pops right back up and goes, okay, we're gonna end this thing because that dude can hurt me. So
yeah.
I'm going to go for broke and see if I can stop that fight. But to your point, very interesting that you're starting to see that stuff happen on a more consistent basis, especially at the fight night level, as if I can't lose at the fight night level because I won't get to the pay-per-view or I won't get to the Fox mm-hmm. cards or I won't get to the bigger and better things. Because as you said, everybody wants to fight John Jones. And as of late, the key to fighting John Jones is just being around and healthy.
Right. So, and that's what Ryan Bader did. I mean, he's coming off a win here. If something were to happen, I don't see him fighting for a title anytime within the next year. But he gets another win, another win.
Stranger things have happened.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
You start calling down the list, and you get to seven, and he says no. Well, guess what? There's Bader at eight. Yeah, dude, I'll totally do that. And the other big news out this week, so big and so quickly, actually, Ariel Helwani did an interview that he essentially had to throw out because he couldn't transcribe it fast enough as the news was changing. Eddie Alvarez was released from his contract at Bellator and immediately signed to the UFC. That was huge news. And then 17 seconds later, he's fighting Donald Cerrone at UFC 178, which I couldn't love any more.
Okay, you're not going to like this, but that doesn't help that card at all.
You are a liar and a thief,
that
sir.
Doesn't. We are going to enjoy it. I want to see the fight, but they're not selling any more tickets with that fight. Let's think about the casual fan. Doesn't really know what Bellator is. As far as they know, that Donald Cerrone, for the most part, sure, is a better known fighter in this fight. And I know that.
And why is
and
that?
I know the people.
Why
that,
is that, Ken?
Well, because he's the guy that goes in there, and he's been in the UFC.
And what does he do when he goes in there?
Oh, he leaves it all out there.
Yes, he does.
Well, I mean, besides that, he's been in the UFC. And let's remember, right, as much as we all love some of these up-and-coming fighters and these other brands and whatever they're doing, Bellator, I think, is doing a great job, but they're Bellator. They're not the UFC. People don't associate the brand. I like this fight. I like the fact that they're fluffing the card up a little bit here.
I think if you're a casual fan, I understand.
I'm surprised Eddie took this fight as his first fight in UFC. I've got to imagine there is a big paycheck there.
Probably.
Because this is dangerous as heck for Eddie Alvarez. He comes in, he takes a loss to Donald Cerrone. He's nowhere near a title anymore. Nowhere near it.
Sure.
Because the fans don't really know who he is, and they just know that he was the guy that Donald Cerrone went in there and beat up. Now, to be fair, Donald Cerrone's beat up a couple of dudes already, but he's not taking out any former champions. He's not done anything that puts him super high up in that championship discussion.
Right.
I don't even have the lightweight champion fighting right now.
Right. Yeah, that's true. But I just look at this card, and you start with Kat Zingano and Amanda Nunes.
Still the most important fight on the card.
At this point, yes, but you move up to Tim Kennedy, and mm-hmm. Yoel Romero, an awesome fight. Poirier and McGregor, an awesome fight. Cerrone and Alvarez, an awesome fight. And then, of course, the problem on the card is Demetrius Johnson and Chris Caruso.
And that's why...
Where we go, who?
This is why nothing below that is going to help. We talked earlier about how I don't care that Kung Lee and Bisping really have any fighters under them. I mean, we've got the Tyrone Woodley fight, but that's it. I don't care, but because that's the main event.
So
you can't do the reverse. You can't have a main event I don't care about and then put it on pay-per-view.
So let me ask you this question, because I thought this was fascinating. So they sign Eddie Alvarez as he's released from Bellator with nobody's going to sue anybody. You just release. Gets signed, gets Donald Cerrone, goes immediately to the co-main event, which does what? That puts Dominic Cruz and Mizugaki on the prelims.
Oh, really?
Prelims.
I didn't notice that. Wow.
Now, they're the last spot to get you to buy the card, which, I, of course, you know me, you've listened to the show, you know that might be my favorite spot on any card.
Yeah.
Because your job is the single most important part of the night. And I think Dominic Cruz's game for that job, just as Uriah Faber was when he fought Caceres. But, man...
That is brutal, especially his return.
Because
3 years?
You didn't lose the belt. You just had to drop it off at the office.
No, it's been 3 years. I mean, think about it. The last guy he beats, the champion on that card. That's interesting, too.
It
was Demetrius Johnson, right?
It was, yes.
2011, I think it was. Wow. So, yeah, it's been a long time.
It has been a long time.
Well, is that going to be a... So that'll be a Fox Sports prelim. I'm just trying to figure things out. That might not be bad for him because
I mean, that look, the prelims, I think...
This is going to be a card that a lot of people, because of that main event, aren't going to want to invest in. So you might have a better chance at an audience and making your big return on that prelim.
Perhaps. I just think if you're a guy sitting at home on September 27th and your card on Fox Sports 1 is Doomsday and Brian Ebersole and Cote and Wonderboy Thompson and Cruz and Mizugaki, I think by the time those three fights are done, you might be reassessing your ability to have people over and buy that card.
What do you mean?
I think you'd be fired up and be like, I want to consume more of this. And I think while we still would end up at the end of it, just given what Demetrius Johnson does, we still may end up at the end of it with a fight night result, meaning we have finishes all the way up to 25 minutes of Dominic Cruz running around with a guy that you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
I think those three fights as prelims leading into the pay-per-view is going to sell some pay-per-views, I think. I just think they'll deliver.
Yeah, I'd find it interesting to start looking at some of those ratings and seeing if anything I don't know if those affect pay-per-view buys. There's living on Fox Sports 1, which doesn't have a ton of clearance.
You don't think at all?
If you want it, it's there. That's what essentially I'm saying. Nobody lands on Fox Sports 1 and goes, oh, look, fighting's on.
No, what I'm saying is...
So if you're there, you're probably already... You're a fight fan. You've already decided whether or not you're consuming that pay-per-view that night. There's not a whole lot that's going to make you buy that pay-per-view that happens inside that card if you haven't already decided to do it.
Fair enough.
Especially if you've actually consumed that entire preliminary card. We go back to the how much is too much argument for UFC. And at the point you're starting with the preliminary card, you're watching, 7 to 10? 8 to 10?
8 to 10, yeah.
And then you're probably going till 1. And again, I love MMA. But come on. 5 hours of anything, you're going to go, all right, come on. And then, and your light at the end of the tunnel on this one's Demetrius Johnson? No. I don't know.
And I don't disagree with that part. I just think that 2 hours of what they've got on this piece of paper, I probably will end up giving you $60. I'm just saying.
Okay.
All right. When we come back, Kung Lee will join us to talk a little Michael Bisping. We'll do it next. It is Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at Wow Show. Way of the Warrior.
Hey, it's Ken Evans, Way of the Warrior, your MMA show. UFC Fight Pass this weekend, going to be a very busy day for UFC. You will be able to check out on Fight Pass UFC Bisping versus Lee, live from China. Right now from China, we have got Kung Lee on the line. How are things there in Asia?
Actually, winding down. It's late over here. But, I'm just ready to step inside the octagon and just slow down. I'm ready to do this.
Obviously the time difference. We're talking to Kung Lee. He's in Macau for UFC Fight Night Macau. Bisping versus Lee coming up Saturday morning here in the United States. Main card goes live at 9 a.m. How good does it feel to be back in China? You were there when you beat Rich Franklin about almost 2 years ago at this point. Do you like going back there and fighting?
Yeah. The first time was great. I had an amazing victory over Rich Franklin. He's a great champion, former champion. And, he's a nice guy. I really liked him a lot. And, it's almost like a yin and yang thing where, Michael Bisping, and he's not that nice of a guy. He's starting to say certain things that, makes me feel that, he's just not that cool of a person. So I'm looking forward to, fighting him and matching my skills up against him.
Well, it definitely sounds like you've definitely got some incentive in this fight here. You guys did your media press conference. Did you guys do a stare down a couple hours ago?
Yeah, we did a stare down. We got real close, but Dana and myself, I'm too professional to start something, but I'm sure he was looking for something. Then, when we looked out to the audience, he looked at me, and I looked back, and he said I was copying him.
Huh.
Almost like a child in a man's body, Like, come on, grow up. Let's just fight, dude. Let's keep it professional. Don't need to get butthurt about certain things. Just be cool to the fans. They're the one who's paying your you know, your salary and you know, it's if you act like that, you're going to lose all your fans.
Well, Michael Bisping's always been kind of known as a guy that's going to push buttons on dudes, and obviously he's gotten you to the point where you're a little bit irritated with him. How do you make sure that he doesn't push those buttons in a way that gets you a little bit off your game?
You know what? Of course, like when Frank Shamrock was trying to get under my skin, he irritated me just enough. But look what happened to Frank Shamrock, Michael Bisping, he can act. And it's a free country, So he can act the way he wants to act, and, he can be arrogant. All he can do is, wait till the 23rd and, see what happens. But, definitely, when I kick and when I punch, it's not going to be with good intention. So, I'm going to think through my target, I'm looking to bring the lightning and follow by center.
UFC Fight Night, Bisping versus Lee, live from China, 9 a.m. here in the United States on UFC Fight Pass. I want to go back. We talked a little bit about the yin and yang when you fight a guy like Rich Franklin versus Michael Bisping. I want to go back to that fight because it was almost 2 years ago, so you've had a pretty long break in there. And a lot of folks look at that fight with Rich Franklin and go, well, he just got too old. And he's a legend. He's a former champion. He just got too old. You're 42, and you're still in the game. Does that layoff worry you when you get a little bit older? I know you've got a lot of other things going on, but it's been a long time since you've been in the cage fighting. Does that worry you with a long layoff like that?
No, a long layoff it's all in the head, The mental game is just as important as the physical game. And for anyone who says Rich Franklin got old, I think they don't know what they're talking about. Rich, he even admitted that he had the best camp. He got caught, and, Scott, my trainer and myself, we did a lot of film study on him, and we noticed his bad habits, and we took advantage of it, and for people to say that, what do they know? They've never stepped inside the octagon. They never even trained half as hard as we do, and for them to talk like that, we might have to send them a keyboard warrior card or something, because that annoys me, because that's no respect. You don't understand what fighters go through, what fighters have to put themselves through, and what they sacrifice. So, and they're doing it for the fans and the ones who think that they know and they talk like they're the experts. So if they're too busy talking and they know so much, they should step in and see how they do.
UFC Fight Night, Macau, Bisping versus Lee. It's coming up this Saturday morning. It certainly sounds like Kung Lee is ready for a fight coming up this Saturday. I saw you on UFC On the Fly. You talked about a lot of the training and everything you have to put into it. You're one of those guys who takes a very mental approach to the game, too, and you make sure you get your breaks in. I saw that you're doing some target training. The movie's actually called Targets. You're going to be in. You were doing some shooting on UFC On the Fly. What was that about?
I play a special ops person who protects a girl for 5 days against different assassins around the world. And this guy's a really good marksman, and he's a martial artist at the same time. So, for me, I take everything seriously. And when I train for something, I want to be the best at it. So, I want to go into a film and be the character that everyone's paying to go watch. Someone who knows how to grip the gun right. Someone knows how to draw the gun and how to place the shot. And, someone who delivers the acting along with the fighting. And, that's my job, to be the complete actor. It's just like it's my job to be the complete fighter. So, if there's an opportunity to submit Michael Bisping, I'm going to take it. And if there's an opportunity to take Michael Bisping up and to play him, I'm going to do it. I'm going to throw it. I try to improve, every part of my game, so I want to be dangerous to mindful.
And there's been a lot of talk, too. I don't want to look past Michael Bisping, but there's been a lot of talk, obviously, about fights you might still want to see in the future. And you brought up earlier in this week with Fox Sports that you still want to get in that cage with Anderson Silva.
No, they brought it up.
Oh, they did.
Fox
I'm sorry.
Sports brought it up, and they asked if I would still want to fight Anderson Silva. Why wouldn't? Yeah, of course. That would be a dream matchup. Every martial artist who trains at a high level would want to test their skills against another high-level fighter. And Anderson, he's at the top of his game for many years, and I think it wasn't that, you know, he lost a step or anything. He just found his kryptonite against, you know, Chris Weidman. And, you know, taking it away from Chris Weidman, he's dangerous for all fighters. He's just, you know, Anderson Silva's kryptonite, you know. So, you know, but, you know, I would just love to match my strikes against Anderson, but right now I'm going to definitely match my strikes against Michael Bisping, and if he plans to shoot, I'm going to stuff it. If he plans to, you know, put me up against the cage, I'm going to spin him back into the cage and put him on the cage. And I'm ready. I'm in good shape. I'm strong. I'm physical. And, you know, this is a new and improved, you know, Kung Lee, the 5.0 version.
Kung Lee 5.0 live from China. He's going to be on UFC Bisping versus Lee coming up Saturday morning. Thanks to Kung for taking some time with us. 5.0 sounds ready to kick some Michael Bisping ass, doesn't he?
He certainly does. And that's, you know, a dangerous Kung Lee, I think. Michael Bisping, always a game fighter, but I don't want to fight that guy.
No, that guy's upset. He's not mad at us.
No.
Although I'm not sure about halfway through. I think he challenged me to a fight.
It certainly sounded like it.
I mean, we love Rich Franklin.
There are a lot of fight nights to fill, so I don't know if, like, you're going to be on one of them.
Kung Lee this Saturday morning. If you weren't going to watch the fight before, I bet you are now. Kung Lee taking on Michael Bisping, who's clearly gotten under the skin of Kung. Their stare down picture, if you find it on Facebook, we'll link it up too. It's gold, because Kung is just 100% done with Michael Bisping 100% of the time. This is Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
Follow our Twitter account at WowShow.